You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, my name's Tony East. I cover the Pacers for the Westside Community News and Forbes, and occasionally WTHR.com here in Indianapolis. And today, the Pacers take on the Brooklyn Nets, a team that absolutely destroyed them in February. February 10th, the worst Pacers game of the season, undeniably. Pacers were awful. I'm going to break down what the Pacers can do better if they have a chance against this Nets team that is just ridiculously good. And then I'm by myself, but I wanted to break down some trade deadline stuff. Trade deadline is just over a week away. The names are swirling of actually kind of realistic guys that could be obtained, and there are fake trades flying. And what I'm going to do is run through the top 10 guys whose names are floating around in trade rumors aggregated from various sites and see if it makes any sense for the Pacers to go after any of them. And then Rylan Styles from Locked On Thunder is going to drop by because I wanted to talk to him about my fake Jeremy Lamb trade that I think is like the most perfect win-win trade of all time. So we can talk about that. But let's start with the Nets because that is a real basketball game that happens tonight. And the reason you would do all these trades is to have a better basketball team and a better basketball team like the Nets. So when the Pacers lost to the Nets on February 10th, the Nets improved to 15-12. They were 15-12 at the end of that game. They are now 27-13. They have lost once since they beat the Pacers on that day by 10. They have lost one time in a month and 6 days. They lost to the Dallas Mavericks late in February. So they are ridiculous. They are so good. Their offense is first by a mile, almost 119 points per 100 possessions. Their defense sucks. It doesn't matter how bad their defense is because they score so many points, it doesn't matter. And that is why this first Nets-Pacers game was so damn weird. The Nets' offense wasn't that good. They scored 104 points. The Pacers could not score on the Nets at all. They scored 30 points in the first half. 30 points. They scored 18 in the first quarter and 12 points in the second quarter. 12 points in the second quarter. That's crazy. That's terrible. Like TJ Warren averaged more than that per quarter in the bubble in that one game. Like that is terrible. That was the worst game I've ever seen from the Pacers this year. It was so bad. They have to do better at attacking the Nets defense. That, like, if they give up 120 this time, like, you just shrug. The Nets have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and James Harden. Kevin Durant's not going to play. Neither is Blake Griffin or Spencer Dinwiddie. That's all official now. They still have James Harden and Kyrie Irving. That is a combined 52 points per game between those two guys and 17 assists. So that is just a ridiculous duo. They're so hard to guard. They didn't even try, and the Nets smoked the Pacers. Kyrie was ridiculous. He had 35-8, if you'll remember that game very well. So, what can the Pacers do better? Well, first of all, offensively, they were, just absolutely atrocious. Miles Turner had 3 points. Jeremy Lamb was starting still then. He also only had 3 points. The role players were totally taken out of the game. The Nets did a pretty good job of you know, this was in that time frame where a big topic of discussion, at least that we had on this show, was Brogdon and Sabonis are shouldering too much load. They're taking way too high of a percentage or ratio of the starters' shots. Sabonis shot 20 times in that game, Brogdon 17. So this was in that awkward stretch after the Depot trade where opposing defenses were loading up on those two guys, and the Pacers had not quite yet reflexed on how they can properly share the ball and get other guys involved. So their offense was terrible. So one key here is the Nets, you know, as bad as they are on defense, they have some guys who are pretty good. You know, nose to the ball defenders, Bruce Brown, James Harden when he's engaged is a good on-ball defender, Joe Harris, same deal, even though he's slow. TLC, Jeff Green, right? Those guys can be okay up-in-your-face defenders when they're trying. They're not always trying, but when they're trying, they can be good defenders. It's just how it is. Landry Shamet as well. That is what it is. They're not great help defenders. None of them are. The Nets are not 26th in defense for no reason. 24th, excuse me. They're not a good team defense team. That's where they usually struggle. They lost the day before they played the Pacers to the Pistons. Their team defense got carved up by the Detroit Pistons. Like that's what can happen to the Nets is their team defense sucks. So all that to say, if the Pacers are going to do better than they did last time, they've got to share the ball more than they did last time. You know, like I said, 37 shots for Brogdon Sabonis is too many. Karis being back will help. I'm very excited to watch him against his old team. I wonder how much chip on his shoulderness he'll have, if any, show off against his old teammates. And, you know, that'll help the balance a little bit. And Jeremy Lamb not starting will help the balance quite a bit. I think the new starting five with Karrison instead of McDermott appears to be the right choice, especially because McDermott is playing well with the bench. So step one, just get a little more balance with starting five. I think they're learning a little bit more, and they have recently. You know, the fourth quarter meltdowns have been awful this month, but they have played very well for like 40 minutes every game, right? And they're learning how to play off of Sabonis better, and they're learning what to do when guys go under on Brogdon better. They've learned how to get Justin Holiday open despite him not making his threes as much, and Turner's picking his spots well this month, including some duck-ins, right? So they've learned that balance, and I think they'll do better in that way in this game, right? I think that they'll make DeAndre Jordan move a little bit more, and that'll open up stuff at the basket for Miles or Sabonis or whoever's cutting. And I think that Brogdon's gotten better. Okay, he needs to pull up the three or give it up and then do some cuts to get open instead of taking shots off the dribble like he did in this game. You know, I think we'll see more assists to him than we did last time. And Karis, again, is a much bigger threat than Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb was 1-for-5 last time these two teams played. He only had 3 points. So I think that they'll just naturally share the ball more and score more points. That'll help a lot. The second unit will be a little different. You know, it depends if Lamb's in there. But Sumner's going to play more. Right? I think they'll have a more balanced second unit. So I think that the Pacers can do better offensively easily. Defensively, I don't know what to say. I mean, they held them to 104. Kyrie had a great game. No one else did that well, right? Joe Harris, 3-of-7 for deep. James Harden really struggled. He only had 19 points. Bruce Brown only took one shot. Kyrie just tore him up. Kyrie tore them up. And sometimes there's just nothing you can do, right? You just shrug because, you know, Nate Bjorken wants to play disruptive defense, get up in these guys' face, make them give it up. And on a lot of teams that only have one star, have like a clear star number one and then a lesser star two, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But like, okay, you got the ball to Kyrie's hands. Now James Harden's got the ball. Like it doesn't work against this team as well as it does against other teams. So I think he's going to try a lot of gimmicky stuff. That's what he likes to try, throw teams off their rhythm with interesting, weird defenses. I don't think it's going to work. Like, I think they can slow down one of the two. They slowed down Harden last time. I don't think they can slow down both. So unless one of those guys is just off, I think that the Nets are going to be easily scoring. So this might be one of those games. And McMillan was decent, at least, at getting away with these games of, let's let those guys kill us and just shut down everybody else, right? Like, if James Harden's off, all of a sudden he's going to be passing more. Then Bruce Brown's got to kill you, or Joe Harris has to kill you, whatever. Landry Shamet's got to kill you, Tyler Johnson. If they can do it, you lose. Like, you just lose. Like, when the Suns won in Indy, Mikal Bridges had, whatever, 30 points, you just lose. But if those guys aren't playing as well, you've got a shot, even if your disruptive style's not working. So I think if I'm the Pacers, you know, obviously I'm going full disruptor somewhere, and I think I would throw it all at Harden and make Kyrie do some damage. And he can do it. He's been amazing this year. That's what I would try to do. And just pray that their role players are having an off game. But the Nets are ridiculous. Even without Kevin Durant, they've been absolutely rolling, which is so unfair. They appear to be final favorites in the East. So I think the Pacers' chances in this game rely on hot three-point shooting and Karis having an awesome revenge game, because even if there's no way their offense is worse than it was last time, but they have to be better defensively, and that's going to be a very tall task. So I think the Nets win this one. They're just too good. It's nothing against the Pacers. Again, they played very well for a lot of the Lakers game. They were up 10 in the fourth quarter. They blew it. They played very well for a lot of the Nets game. If the Nets weren't on fire from three in the first half, like the Nets were like 10 of 12, or Nuggets, not Nets, excuse me. If the Nuggets weren't 10 of 12 from three at one point, the Pacers would have been up big in that one as well. Gave it up at the end. So I think they can play well against the Nets, but I don't think they can win. The Nets just have the two best players in this game, and that's what it'll come down to. So it'll be fun. I like watching this Nets team, but I'm not so sure the Pacers are going to be able to pull it off. But we'll see. We will see. Anywho, the Nets are involved in a lot of trade talks. Everybody wants to know what the Pacers are going to do. So let's look at the guys on the top guys in trades on TradeNBA.com. So the guys that, you know, that are in the most rumors and people are making fake trades for them the most. But first, let's take a short little break. And first, let's talk about Locker Room. Locker Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform. It's an app for iOS. It's free to download and use. And we have integrated it into the Locked On Podcast Network's repertoire of stuff. So I will be doing live chats on Locker Room. My first will be Thursday. You just hop in. I'll be talking about the Pacers. You can ask questions there. I can even bring you on the stage so you can talk to me about the Pacers. We can, you know, discuss whatever topic you want. You know, these can be turned into podcasts. I'm imagining we're going to do that in the off season. A lot of people have been using them for watch parties, which are really fun. So post game for Pacers games or whatever other team you watch, people can hop in, listen about their team, hop in, get going on debates, breakdowns, reacting to news. It's really fun. I've done 2 chats on there now with other people. They're really fun. And again, it's a free app. You can join any ongoing conversations, talk with sports fans. And of course, you can talk to me on Thursday. So all you got to do, download the Locker Room app free on the iOS App Store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join. You know, we have Locked On Pacers on there. Come go follow us. And you'll be notified whenever we go live. We'll be going live on Thursday. And I'll let you know what time. Come with your spiciest takes. Come join. Check out the Locker Room app. And also, we got to talk about the great, great people over at Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service delivering the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. It's an online prescription service, so no visit to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Ships right to your door, discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical professionals, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Best part, it's all online. Blue Chew's licensed medical professionals work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem. They have 2 tablet kinds that are chewable. The Tadalafil and the Sildenafil. There we go. Their tablets are made in the USA. They prepare easily here and direct ship cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details. Use the code LOCKEDON when you're checking out. You'll get free. You can try Blue Chew for free with that promo code. And just for paying $5 shipping. So that's promo code LOCKEDON, $5 shipping. You can try Blue Chew for free at BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON. Go check them out. Whew, that's a lot of talking. Okay, trades. Everybody's favorite thing, except for mine. But I'm going to try to loop it all together because, you know, we have the list of the top 10 guys on TradeNBA.com. It's like the trade machine on ESPN, except better. It actually has the cap rules right. It makes it easier to do big trades, throwing picks, stuff like that. So the top 10 guys on that app that have been included in trades on TradeNBA.com is actually a pretty good list of, like, the guys with the most trade talk buzz in the league. You know, for me, at least, that I've kind of heard. No Pacer names on the list. No one on the Pacers is, you know, necessarily being shopped or is eminently available. Guys, teams have inquired about the availability of a few guys. Those are reporting the Indy Star about Miles Turner. I've heard similar things, but that's not what we're going to talk about. Do any of the top 10 guys on the trade NBA list make sense for the Pacers? So first up is, hilariously, Victor Oladipo. No, the Pacers will not be trading for Victor Oladipo. In fact, to talk about that a little bit, they really struck while the iron is hot. Oladipo had a great game last night in Rockets-Hawks, but he's been really struggling since the trade. The Pacers absolutely dealt him at the right time. Maybe the Rockets can get something for him. I don't think it'll be anything awesome, but I am imagining he's going to not be on Houston next year. And his trade value has certainly dropped since the first 10 games of the season. So great maneuver by the Pacers. They can reacquire him legally. They will not be reacquiring him for a variety of reasons. But that does not make any sense. Number 2 is P.J. Tucker. P.J. Tucker's a good player. P.J. Tucker would absolutely help the Pacers. You know, if they were 20-17 right now instead of 17-20, I think P.J. Tucker would be a solid target for the Pacers. He would address their biggest need, right? With something we've talked about in here a lot, they cannot defend these bigger forwards at all. No team has any good answer, but they have, like, nothing to throw at the Kawhi, your Luka, your Julius Randle has killed them many times this season. You know, Tatum, these kind of giant forwards that have some power and girth to the way they play. Less so Tatum in the power department, but, you know, that kind of guy. Mikal Bridges, OG Anunoby, that kind of guy has killed them all season. P.J. Tucker does a great job with those guys, relative to at least to what you can expect. So he would help them a lot. But the Pacers are 17-20, right? They're probably not going to be able to. If P.J. Tucker's just going for some seconds, maybe they can swoop in and get him. I think he would help this team a lot. He's a really good corner three-point shooter as well. So maybe the Pacers can figure out something there. But they'd have to send out the salary. It'd have to be like McDermott or something. You know, Lamb makes too much money. So you're basically just looking at either McConnell and a guy on a rookie deal or McDermott and picks. So I don't think it's a good salary trade fit. I think that contenders will probably end up bidding more because of his fit. And again, they're 17-20. It doesn't make sense to send a ton of stuff for guys when you're 17 and 20, right? If you think that all of a sudden you're going to rattle off a bunch of wins, you can win around, yeah. But the Pacers don't have it, haven't indicated that is necessarily on the table. So PJ Tucker's kind of a maybe, but I would say no. And he's no future, really. He's really old. He's on an expiring contract, so no. Third is John Collins. John Collins is fantastic. There's not, like, I'm not going to talk about the draft that year. The Pacers could have had him and they didn't. But John Collins has been fantastic since being picked by the Hawks, big part of why they are absolutely balling recently. This season, he's averaging 18 points, 8 rebounds, 1.5 assists per game. Special scorer, shoots 53%, 37.5% from deep. Last year, those numbers were better. So he's really good. He's only 23. The trouble with him is, you know, he wants more touches, reportedly, which he could get on another team. His value is still really high, which is kind of maybe what the Hawks would be thinking if they did deal him. I don't think he's actually, like, available, just the rumblings have made that it get to this point. If the Pacers have any shot at getting him, I mean, that would be fantastic. He's a great player. He's young. He's a restricted free agent, so even though his contract is expiring, they're guaranteed to keep him. But he wants a max, right? And he'd be immediately overpaid on a max. Barely. You know, he's probably an over $20 million player, but he'd be making close to 28 on a max deal, which is a little rich. But he's very good. If the Pacers can find a way to get him, I think that would be great. But I don't know if they can get the Hawks what they want, right? They're not going to be able to offer a lottery pick. They don't have any blue chip talent that's young that the Hawks would want in return. You know, the Hawks have Clint Capella, who has been not quite at Miles Turner's level of impact this season, but offers them what they need in a way that, you know, offering a center isn't going to entice the Hawks. So it's really hard for me to imagine the Pacers finding a trade there. But if they can, if they offer way too many picks, but if they can, you know, Collins is good. Fourth on the list, Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry, fantastic point guard. The contenders of contenders are going after him because he's on an expiring deal. Maybe his time in Toronto is up. You know, they're not. Toronto is not a contender this year, whereas, you know, if Philly could get him, or if whoever, the Clippers could get him, he would really help them. He would really help the Pacers as well, but same deal. He would cost multiple good assets. And when you're 17 and 20, you don't send multiple good assets for an expiring contract, because Kyle Lowry might help the Pacers win one round of the playoffs, but is that worth multiple assets? I don't know. You know, the guy you would go all in for, or the guy you go all in for if you're the Pacers, like for that to be this season, he has to be at least on the team for more than this season or help you get a deep round of the playoffs. Lowry accomplishes one of those goals, but not both. Fifth on the list is Myers Leonard. Not even going to talk about it. Terrible player, terrible dude. Nope. No. Pacers not trading for him. Sixth is LaMarcus Aldridge, who the Spurs have mutually agreed that they are not going to have on the team anymore. He has not played since the All-Star break. He also hasn't played good this season, which is interesting. You know, I've heard Zach Lowe talk about this. So Nick Batum, the thought when he was on Charlotte was he was washed. He was awful for Charlotte last year. And he gets bought out, and the Clippers sign him. And because he's on a contender, now he's energized. And because he's not drawing as much defensive attention, he looks great with the Hornets, right? So what does Nick Batum have to do with LaMarcus Aldridge? Well, that's kind of the thought with these sort of old guys who are on their last legs and not playing well, that if they switch teams, you know, Blake Griffin's going to go to the Nets, and the same thing might happen. He's energized on a contender. He has better teammate quality to help set him up in better positions, and he'll be a better player. LaMarcus Aldridge, the thought would be similar. LaMarcus has been awful this year. Like, okay, maybe awful is a little bit of a stretch, but pretty much average efficiency for a guy who, like, has his whole career just been scoring 54.5 true shooting. He's actually below league average. So below average efficiency guy, who that's his thing, is, like, he can score from everywhere, and he's really slow, so his defense is awful now. He offers nothing on the glass. He offers little passing. He's just been not very good for the Spurs this year. I don't think they were too pained about shutting him down. So he, because the Pacers have no legit power forwards, like, he would help the Pacers, I guess, but as a trade guy, he's making $24 million and is expiring. He helps them win nothing this year. So he probably would cost like a minor asset. So sure, if it's like a cheap asset, in theory, you'd think, yeah, maybe that makes some sense because he fits a position of need, even though he's kind of washed. But the salaries make this one impossible because the Pacers would have to send a good rotation player to make the salaries match, and that makes it not worth it. So So far, this list has been kind of sad. You know, P.J. Tucker is like, I guess you could squint and say that makes sense, but he'll likely go to a better contender. And John Collins, they don't have the assets for at this time. Tristan Thompson is next, which is hilarious. That, you know, the Celtics are reportedly looking to move on from him. I think there was a link from him to the Raptors. The Celtics chose him over Miles Turner. Well, instead of chose him as a response to Miles Turner not being on their team this summer, which is funny. So if he gets traded, that would be comedy from Pacers Twitter, I'm sure. That makes no sense for the Pacers. He's a center. They have two better centers. They don't want Tristan Thompson to come play ahead of Goga. That makes no sense. Andre Iguodala is next. And I honestly think Iguodala is only in a lot of trades on TradeNBA.com because the Heat need a matching salary for, you know, for Oladipo or for Kyle Lowry or all these guys. And it's going to be Iguodala. That's kind of why they signed him to the deal they did. So I think that's why he's on there. I guess he would help the Pacers because he's a vet and can play forward, but he's not actually available. He's just salary filler in trades. The next guy is Romeo Langford. Same kind of deal, right? If the Celtics make a move or if they acquire a guy in their trade exception, Romeo would be the asset to maybe entice a team like the Kings to send Harrison Barnes or whatever. I don't think Romeo is actually available. It would be cool if the Pacers could get him like in some way, but they can't. The last guy is Andre Drummond. Basically the same reasoning as Tristan Thompson here. He's a center. Doesn't really make a ton of sense for them to get a center. And he's also worse than both Sabonis and Turner, despite him being a ridiculous rebounder. So the top 10 guys in trade rumors, PJ Tucker, I guess you could sniff and say maybe the Pacers get something there. And John Collins, I guess, but not really. That's it. If you go to Hoops Hype, you can see the hottest trade rumors in the land. Trevor Ariza, who we'll talk about in our next segment, I actually think makes some sense as a Pacers trade target, not because of what he can offer on the court, but you'll see is a guy in hot trade talks. I guess he makes some sense. We'll talk about that in a second. Norman Powell, Raptors guard, expiring contract, player option of $11.6 million. Next season, he'll probably turn it down. He's a pretty good scoring guard, like Jeremy Lamb, except good at defense. So he's an okay player. If the Pacers could pull him in, that would make sense. He'd be an awesome sixth man for them. But he's expiring and could leave in free agency. Very risky for a team to give up assets for that guy. And that's pretty much it in terms of the guys that are actually on the block or noteworthy in rumors. So, yeah, that's it. So the only thing I would urge you to check out besides the hottest rumors for trades, if you're interested in that stuff, IndyStar just wrote a post about Miles Turner's drawing interest from other teams in the league. That doesn't mean the Pacers are shopping him or anything. That just means other teams want Miles Turner because he's very good. And it was the Knicks, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Hornets, and the Pelicans. Hornets have been interested in him in forever. Same with the Pelicans. So maybe those teams will finally pony up some assets and get him at some point. But I don't think the Pacers are actually actively shopping him. I just think those teams are interested in him. So anyway, that's the trade stuff. Trevor Ariza, I mentioned his name. Locked On Thunder host Ryland Stiles. Holy cow, I can't read his name every time I see it. Join me to talk about what the Jeremy Lamb, Trevor Ariza trade I mused last week on this show would look like. So let's take a break and just do that. Ryland's going to join me. But first, let's talk about two groups of people. The first one is Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars on the market for a while now. Built Bar, the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bars are 100% covered in chocolate and delicious. And now they're doing Built Bar Madness a la March Madness, except, you know, it's Built Bars. In the Sweet 16, no, it's the Elite 8 now, excuse me. You can go vote on their website to find out the best Built Bar. Today's matchup is, there's a couple, double chocolate versus caramel brownie and coconut brownie chunk, which was amazing. They sent us some of those right when they came out, and they were so good, versus lemon dalman cheesecake. Go vote for coconut brownie chunk. It should win the whole tournament, honestly. That's the best ones. So go vote on their website. And remember, if you use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won the matchups and who will become the best tasting protein bar. And when someone wins, you got to try the best one. Use that code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. And also, we're going to talk about BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but the NBA is in full swing, as is college basketball, with March Madness, one of the gambling capitals of the sporting world. NHL, they're in full swing. BetOnline's got you covered for all the odds there. They also have awards, TV shows, reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props for anything you could imagine, including stuff in sports. They've got you covered for anything. Odds, scores, news, best way to place your bets. And it's free to sign up. Head over to that website, betonline.ag or use your mobile device to download their app. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use that promo code LOCKEDON when you sign up. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, now I am joined by Ryland Stiles, the host of Locked On Thunder. And we're going to talk about a fake trade that I came up with when we were doing our little trade deadline preview for the Pacers, because I thought getting off of Jeremy Lamb's money and freeing up some future space for the Pacers to have some flexibility made some sense. So acquiring an expiring contract for him would be great, especially one who could play a forward spot. So before we rehash that specific trade, Ryland, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's the trade deadline time, so I am liking basketball a little less these days because all anyone wants to talk about is stuff like this. But this whole episode is based on this stuff, so we get to talk about it. So first of all, I don't know if Pacers fans know the background of Trevor Ariza. For those who are unaware, the deal I came up with was Jeremy Lamb and the latest second-round pick the Pacers could give up, which would either be the Utah Jazz 2021 second rounder or the Milwaukee Bucks 2021 second rounder for Trevor Ariza, who has not played for the Thunder this year. So actually, before we do background on Ariza, Ryland, can you talk to me about would you take that deal if you're the Thunder?
Yeah, the Thunder would absolutely take that deal. Bring Jeremy Lamb home, please. I would beg of Sam Presti to do that. But the Thunder are just not in the business of really buying out players if they can help it. They'd rather get just anything for any of these players. That's why Trevor Ariza is still on this roster, even while he's playing hardball and not showing up and is seemingly only wanting to go to LA. And the Thunder just want anything, a protected second round pick, a straight up second round pick, just any form of asset for Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, see, him not having showed up thing is interesting. I don't think that matters in my calculus of the trade. And even if he wouldn't show up in Indy because he wants to get to LA so bad, I think the Pacers could buy him out. And I think that, you know, to me, the reason I would do this trade as the Pacers is McDermott's coming up as a free agent. McConnell's coming up as a free agent. The Pacers wiggle room below the tax isn't huge. So being able to get off of Jeremy Lamb's $10 million for next year in any way would help them a ton. It could open up some of the MLE if one of those guys leaves. Still gives them the wiggle room to keep their good guys. And Lamb has not played very well this season, despite his awesome shooting splits. So I think it would free up room in the rotation for some of their younger guards. And if Ariza does show up, that's kind of helpful because he's a ghost at age 35. And, you know, his perception versus what he actually is a pretty wide gap. He's not that good. But I think it solves a lot of the Pacers' goals and gives them depth of position where they need it. And I think for the Thunder, they get an asset for a guy who's not playing in Jeremy Lamb. However, do you think Presti would be okay with this because Lamb isn't awesome and probably wouldn't play that much for the Thunder, right?
Yeah, well, the Thunder are trying to find players who aren't very awesome and who will not help them win, even as they find Kendrick Williams and turn Isaiah Roby into great players who are winning too many games. And another thing about Lamb's contract is the Thunder have an amazingly clean cap sheet next year, even with Al Horford, if they can't move him, which I think that they can in the offseason. They have a great cap sheet, a clean cap sheet, to where Lamb's contract means nothing to the Thunder moving forward. He's an expiring contract at that point. He would be a good fit in Oklahoma City in that sense, whereas his contract's not too big. If he loses you games, that's fantastic. If he doesn't play at all, that's even more fantastic because then you just play your young guys even more. So there's not really a downside of this for Oklahoma City, because even if you cannot play him for different reasons, obviously you can't play Ariza because he's not reporting. So you can't play Ariza because he's not reporting. But if you can't play Lamb because he's not playing well, you didn't lose anything. You can't play either guy, but you add a second round pick. So I think that this is a no-brainer for Oklahoma City.
Okay, so the Thunder would be willing to take on $10 million of salary next year for a just abysmal second round pick. That, see, I would be all over this. And we have the history of Presti Pritchard when they did the blockbuster TJ Leaf, Jalen Lecque swap this offseason, right? So we know that these two front offices have each other on speed dial.
Thunder legend Jalen Lecque, who was so excited to be a member of the Thunder that he immediately changes his profile picture to a Photoshop of him in a Thunder jersey. And then like 5 hours later, he's traded. I felt so
I didn't know he did that.
A Thunder fan.
I did not know he did that. He did not do the same thing with the Pacers, although he did make the team after some questions about whether he would get waived and stretched. So happy for him there. But I feel I just think, to me, because like the other guy is J.J. Redick that I have as a Lamb swap for basically the same reasons as Ariza. He's expiring, plays on the wing, makes the right money to make this work. The Pelicans don't want him. But unlike the Pelicans, the Thunder, like you, for the reasons you detailed, they don't care if Lamb is not very good or if he's not playing. Whereas the Pelicans, their clock to use their cap space while Zion's still on his rookie deal is shortening quickly. So I think that any chance to not do that might be hindrance to them. And I think they're trying to win games. And again, as awesome as Lamb's shooting splits look to be, he would not help them win games as much, even though he can be a self-creator. So I think that the Thunder is like the perfect target spot for this. And so I just wonder, you know, maybe a reason would be like, yeah, I'll play for the Pacers, but I don't think the Pacers would even want him to. I think they'd prefer a buyout. So I think that this is the sweet spot for a Lamb trade. And this is the only good fake trade I think I've ever come up with, which is why I wanted to harp on it so much.
It's not the flashiest fake trade, but it is a good one. And I think that it also plays into the Thunder, you know, kind of filling that role of, oh, look at how great Sam Presti does by his veterans. If he sends Trevor Ariza, who the Thunder owe nothing to Indiana with the knowledge that they're going to buy him out and he can go join LA, then that just, again, adds to the narrative of how great the Thunder culture is to veteran players. So it's a win all the way around.
So is that why he hasn't showed up? It's all LA related? Like, it's not anything to do with OKC?
Yeah, he had family issues apparently in the preseason that held him out of the bubble, and then he's been practicing nonstop, and it's been made pretty clear that he wants to be a Laker, and obviously that can happen because the Thunder want to trade him just for a protected second round pick at just something of any sort of remote value. But it does, all signs are pointing to he only wants to go to LA, and then he has that, well, he didn't report to Oklahoma City, so is he going to report to us if we're not a true title contender, which could steer his market even more so to the place that he wants to be? Because why would you trade anything for him unless it's an Indiana situation whenever you don't know if he's going to report? And I'm with you. Right. I think that Trevor Ariza is so far overblown. Every year we do this at the deadline. Oh, Ariza, he's the missing piece. He's never the missing piece, folks.
He's like James Ennis to me, where everybody's like, including I was guilty of this when I started covering basketball. I've thankfully gotten out of it. They're the fake 3-and-D players who like are average at both, but everyone's like, oh, they're 3-and-D, even though they're actually good at neither of the things that they are built as good at. Wasn't there a video of Ariza working out with a Lakers player pretty recently? Or am I crazy?
He was out there working out in LA.
Montrezl Harrell, right? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking so. Well, do we have a deal? This is a legally binding handshake if you say yes.
Send it into the commish right now.
Did it.
Bring Jeremy Lamb home.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he spent his first 3 years in OKC. Was he on the team that went to the finals, right?
He was on the team after the finals.
Okay. Well,
but he was a great partner for Russell Westbrook.
Duh. I should have known that. Well, Ryland, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about this as I foray through the rumors of the NBA. Where can people follow you and all your stuff?
Of course, you can follow me on for the podcast Locked on Thunder. Follow me on Twitter at Ryland_Styles.
I almost said Ryan at the beginning, I have to be honest with you. But guys, yeah, go follow him in Locked on Thunder. They're really fun this year. Shea's amazing. So they're totally worth your time. And the Pacers haven't played the Thunder yet, but I'm sure we will talk again to preview the game when they do. Thanks so much, man.
Thank you for having me.